Make your meals beautiful and visually appealing. Like, use your nice plates. You got them for a reason. Again, we're not just focusing on taste, focusing on all the other different senses that come into play when we're being present and mindful at our meals.
I'm Leon Guidry, and this is the Brother Be Well podcast, brought to you by Sutter Health and the Sacramento County Division of Behavioral Health Services through the voter-approved Proposition 63 Mental Health Services Act. We're going to help you level up and lean into effective solutions for mental health and sustainable wellness for boys and men of color.
Hello, I'm Michael P. Coleman, Content Director for Brother Be Well. Mindfulness, or the practice of living in the current moment, is a hot topic here at Brother Be Well. As we've learned from dozens of mental health experts, adopting mindfulness practices can result in a host of positive impacts on our mental health. It can also help alleviate symptoms of physical health problems like hypertension and insomnia. We've not yet talked about how adapting mindfulness principles to eating might help us. So let's do that right now with one of our favorite experts, registered dietitian Delilah Bizaze. She's joining us for this talk. Delilah, welcome back to Brother Be Well.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Always great to have you, Delilah. And as you know, we've spoken about mindfulness a lot here at Brother Be Well. But before we talk about it, I want to just define mindfulness really quickly for those listeners who haven't yet seen those videos or checked out those podcasts. Mindfulness is simply being intentional and more aware and awake to each and every moment, being fully engaged in what's happening right now in one's surroundings with acceptance and without judgment. And I'm going to be hopeful that our mental health clinicians on the platform will forgive me, for that was my best take on a definition of mindfulness. The connection, though, Delilah, between mindfulness and the practice of eating, most of us are familiar with the practice of eating. We may not be familiar with mindfulness. So I'm wondering if you could talk about mindfulness and why that's so important with regard to what we're eating, what we're putting in our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. So mindful eating is what allows us to be fully present at our meals. And it also allows us to be fully aware of how all of our senses, not just taste, how all of our senses are being invigorated by the meal. And really, the biggest benefit of mindful eating is that it causes us to be fully present, which is the gateway to being 100% in tune with our hunger and fullness cues and, you know, all those signals that our body is constantly sending to us.
You do such a beautiful job of explaining concepts like this, Delilah. You taught me a while ago, you talked about those cues. And a while ago, you taught me to really pay attention to my body instead of like mindlessly, and I could talk about mindless eating. That's what I used to do. You know, I use a phrase now, I'm going to let my stomach rest a bit. If someone says, do you want any more? I say, I don't know. Let me rest my stomach a little bit and see. I give my body a chance to catch up with what I've just eaten and then really see if I want to eat a little bit more. So you've been really helpful with me on that. Can you talk about that mindless eating? And I don't know if that's an industry term or not, but I use it a lot for people who just really aren't cognizant and don't pay attention to that eating process. Can you talk about what some of the causes of that mindless eating are?
Yeah, I would accept it as an industry term. I mean, why not? I would say the root cause of the mindless eating is the disconnection from our body. So when we're not connected to our body, that means we're not present in the moment. And that goes back to mindful eating, because mindful eating is what allows us to be present in that moment. And from the mental health perspective, of course, I'm a dietitian. I'm not a mental health practitioner. But since this is Brother Be Well, I do want to point out that from the mental health perspective, you know, there are lots of reasons why people disconnect from their body. And, you know, it's usually like a trauma response or a way to cope with stress. And, you know, this is why we find people who struggle with like overeating or undereating, you know, it can go both ways. And it's because we're disconnected from our body. And that is all the root cause of, you know, the mindless eating is that disconnection.
And that disconnection is something that sometimes we're not even very aware of. I know for me, I for years used food to sort of self-soothe, mm-hmm. you know, trauma and stress. And I found myself stress eating. And once I began to really think about it you know, if I'm under stress, maybe a walk is a better way to handle that than to eat half of a pizza, for instance. So I started to learn about my own habits. And that's what this podcast is all about, sort of teaching a few new tips and strategies. And we'll get to those in a second. I'm curious, Delilah, about how long you've been a proponent of mindful eating. And I'd also like to ask you about how easy it is to adopt some of the practices that we've talked about. For some people that are unfamiliar with the practice, I'm sure they're wondering, is this going to be a major overhaul, or is this some stuff that I can kind of weave into my current practices and incorporate fairly easily into what we're already doing?
Yeah. So as far as being a proponent of mindful eating, I would say legit, just since forever, forever, because honestly, like, I've learned that it's really the only way that you can heal your relationship with food and experience that necessary growth and transformation that you need in order to have a healthy relationship with food. And, you know, the conventional, like, overly prescriptive diet approach does not allow for that. So that's that. I've been doing that since forever.
Wow.
But as far as, you know, tips and, you know, getting started, I hear you. So it might feel like an overhaul for some people, for sure. Cause again, it goes back to that connection with our body. It depends, like, to what degree you may or may not be disconnected from your body. Some folks are like really far disconnected from our body, and some folks it might not be. So that right there kind of will, you know, dictate like how difficult it could be. I will say that it's a simple task, but of course, simple doesn't mean easy. Like, something simple can still be challenging. So some tips to kind of like help, I would say, chip away at this mindful eating thing would be, I would say, for one, just change like one thing about your eating environment. Try making it more peaceful. So I hear a lot of people say, like, take away all distractions. And that definitely makes sense, right? Like, take away the phone, the TV, the computer. But for some people, that might be a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. So start with just one thing, like just take away the phone, or just take away the TV, or like just one thing. Or if you're someone who's like always eating on the go, like in the car or at your work desk, start by just setting the intention to always eat at the table. Like, just what, you know, one baby steps, baby steps. Yeah. And another tip could be eating slowly, like setting a 20-minute timer for your meals and just setting the intention to give your food that undivided attention for 20 minutes, because that will slow down the process tremendously. And kind of like you said, giving your stomach a break, it gives a chance for you to actually recognize those hunger and fullness cues that are coming through. And just 20 minutes, that's it. That's like half a show.
Yeah. Everybody can do that. So that can be a goal, at least. That's a great time frame that we can focus on, Delilah. There's a critique out there that I wanted to ask you about. I've been waiting to do this, actually. I was surprised to learn about it. Some people claim that navel gazing, and I'm not sure I'm 100% on what that term means, but folks that criticize or critique mindful eating say that the process makes the food unappetizing, while others say mindful eating is, in fact, superficial, it's ineffective, and some say it's even irresponsible when it supplants traditional treatments for potentially life-threatening eating issues. We've discussed some of those eating issues on the platform at brotherbewell.com, but I wanted to just ask you about that critique. How would you counter those who critique the practice of mindful eating?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, so many levels to that. Okay. So
sorry.
I love this. I love it. We can break it down, like, you know, in chunks. So as far as like the navel gazing, or I guess I think what they're getting at is, I feel like you get too wrapped up into it, because of course, like, mindful eating, you're paying attention to all the senses and being fully present. So they feel like that could, I guess, go in the opposite way. However, I disagree with that. I wouldn't feel like it's navel gazing or being, too wrapped up in yourself or too wrapped up in the food. It's simply being present and being aware, and acceptance. That's a really big one too. When we're present, we can accept the current situation at hand. That acceptance is a huge, huge deal when it comes to diet and the way that we eat. A lot of people struggle with body acceptance. And because they struggle with body acceptance, it's hard for them to nourish themselves. They have feelings of guilt and shame that come up when they're eating certain foods or not eating certain foods. And a way that they deal with that is mindless eating, like not being present at their meals. So absolutely not. I don't feel like it's navel gazing or anything. It's making you be present and accept yourself and love yourself. So that's that. That's not what I'll go with. Another thing I mentioned was superficial and like ineffective. I disagree. So I know we haven't like talked specifically about intuitive eating just yet, but this does bring to mind the fact that there have been some studies that have shown that intuitive eating actually has increased body confidence, self-confidence, reduced depressive symptoms in people who have taken that approach. So intuitive eating, by the way, encompasses mindful eating strategies. So that's why I bring that up. And like, so it is effective. But I will preface, or I will point out that those studies have been on adult women. And this is, you know, a Brother Be Well is a platform focused on men and boys. So it would be great to see more research that focuses on all the sexes across, you know, the different ages. So no, it's not ineffective. It's definitely effective. And then dangerous too. And like irresponsible. I'm so glad you brought that up also, because that would only happen if you're using it inappropriately. So as far as like, what do I mean by inappropriate? We can take eating disorders, for example. So eating disorders are a mental illness. However, when you're working with a client who has an eating disorder, intuitive eating, mindful eating, that's not going to be an instant strategy you're going to start with. It's just not realistic. And it could honestly aggravate the mental illness. So instead, mindful eating is more of like an endpoint goal, you know what I mean? Versus like strategy to just be like, hey, listen to your body. Absolutely not. You do not want to do that with someone who has an eating disorder, you know?
You mentioned, Delilah, intuitive eating. You read my mind. I was going to ask you about that later. So let's talk about it right now. Can you define that concept really briefly for someone listening that might not be familiar with that at all?
Oh, totally. So intuitive eating, by the way, was created by two RDs back in the 90s. It's an eating framework and it encompasses mindful eating. And basically these RDs started it as a rebuttal to the diet culture back in the 90s. Because they just noticed that it was destroying people's psyche and their relationship with food. And if you can think back to the 90s, for the folks who were alive back then, like Slim Fast, Atkins, like those were the popular things back then, right? So they just realized like, wow, this is destroying the public. So intuitive eating is basically a framework that it doesn't only prompt you to be present at your meals, which is mindful eating, but it also prompts you to dismantle any negative or self-limiting beliefs you have about food and eating. So just like, I should eat this way, or I have to eat XYZ food. And the overall goal is to foster a healthy relationship with food and your body.
Really beautifully put. And we could all, I kind of think of intuitive eating. Someone like you may have that down pat, Delilah, but I'm thinking as a registered dietitian, but I'm thinking that for some people, that may be sort of a long-term goal. I know I'm much more intuitive about it than I was even a month or two ago, let alone a year ago. So give yourself a little grace, I would say to someone listening. It's not going to be something that may come to you right away, but just begin to think really intentionally about what you're eating and give yourself a little time to relearn, to unlearn some habits that maybe aren't the best for you and to develop that new habit. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Anything takes time. If you've lived, you know, and had habits for 30, 40, 50 years, however old you are, you know, one day is not going to erase all of that, right?
Yeah.
Not even 1 week. you know, it's going to take, it takes repetition.
Yeah. Tell me about, let's talk about dieting a little bit. For, especially for people who, for whom mindfulness is a new concept, they might say that, mindfulness is a lot harder than traditional dieting. Most people are familiar with, I don't want to use the word rigid, but, you know, calorie counting or, you know, fat grams or even portion control. What would you have to say to people that might say mindful eating is a bit more of a, of an effort? It's going to require a little more effort on their part than what they've come to know over those decades you just walked us through with regard to dieting.
Yes. Okay. So a saying kind of comes to mind. There's a certain saying that comes to my mind when you say this. And it is, you probably heard this before, but like if you sit in a pile of dump, or, you know, replace dump with any other word, if you sit in a pile of dump for long enough, at some point it doesn't smell like dump anymore, right? Mm. Like at some point you've been in it for so long, you know nothing else. It's just, it's normalized to you. And the same goes for diet culture. You know, we have become so accustomed to the toxic and self-defeating traits of diet culture that we have just normalized that level of dysfunction. But just because it's normalized doesn't make it healthy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that is one, I feel like that's one thing for us to wrap our heads around when it comes to, you know, making that or incorporating more mindful eating habits, you know, just realizing that this is better for our body. Yes, it's going to be a challenge because we're stepping outside of our comfort zone. We're stepping outside of what we know, but just that challenge should not, you know, be a reason for us to give up on, you know, striving for something better for ourselves.
Amen. Amen to that. Let's talk about, I just want to mention right now, Delilah, part of my own mindful eating journey has been, and you've helped me with this as well, differentiating between hunger and thirst. I learned pretty early that I was sort of conflating those two concepts. And sometimes when I thought I was hungry and would go to the refrigerator, especially after I and a lot of the rest of the world started working from home, it made access to that refrigerator, you know, 2 hours into a day a lot easier. And I was grabbing, even if it was a healthy snack, I was grabbing snacks where really I was becoming dehydrated, especially here. We're talking to you from Sacramento, California. It can get quite warm, even hot in the summer. And I learned, I thought I was hungry, but I'm really thirsty. While the latter is a good practice, the mindful eating, what could you say about how we can learn to pay attention to our bodies? Talk about that a little bit as a part of mindful eating, learning what your own cues are, learning how you respond to being dehydrated versus hungry, and then acting accordingly instead of sort of just reaching for the first thing you can grab to try to calm whatever sensation you're feeling down.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point you brought up. So I would say this is where the mindful eating and the nutrition education converge, basically. So of course, it's crucial to listen to your body and respond accordingly, but it's also equally crucial to have the knowledge of what your body needs, like the nutrients your body needs in order to function optimally. So as we are reaching for foods and drinks, we also want to pay attention to exactly what we're reaching for. So for some people, like this, the small frequent meals, that might be their thing that works well for them. Other folks, it's like 3 square meals a day. But whether, like, doesn't matter like which route you're going, you still want to have that foundational knowledge of like what constitutes a balanced meal. Like, is this nutritionally balanced? And is my meal colorful enough? Am I getting enough fiber? And also with fluids and drinking water and staying hydrated, drinking enough water throughout the day, which for most adults is like anywhere from like 1 to 2, maybe even 3 liters, not necessarily a whole gallon, but, you know, a couple liters a day. So I think having that foundational knowledge, in conjunction with just paying attention to how you feel, like I haven't drinking anything today, or I haven't really had that much fiber rich food. My diet, I'm feeling kind of backed up. I feel like that will also help guide your choices too.
So wise. Great tips. And as we think about tips, Delilah, before I've got to let you go, I feel like the time always flies by. You walked us through already some great little hacks, some great quick ideas, some things that can be incorporated into our ongoing daily practices. And then you've mentioned already a couple of really good new ideas. I'm wondering, before I have to let you go, if you can pose maybe a few other fantastic mindful eating techniques or practices that we can start to incorporate into our walks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the big things I would say, definitely establishing the calm and comfortable eating environment. And I bring that one up again, because peace equals presence, or that's how I like to remember it. And it's hard to be present when there's no peace, right? So whatever you can do to make your eating environment peaceful, do that. And then pay attention to the five senses. So make your meals beautiful and visually appealing. Like, use your nice plates, use your nice glasses. You got them for a reason, right? Like, make them beautiful and visually appealing, because again, we're not just focusing on taste, right? We're focusing on all the other different senses that come into play when we're being present and mindful at our meals. Also appreciate the aroma, right? People like to smell their coffee cups or teas, but also pay attention to the aroma of the actual solid foods that you're eating. Like, that's part of the experience as well. And then another one I like to share with folks that, you know, isn't necessarily about our senses. It's a bit more on the spiritual side, but take a moment to express gratitude before your meal. You know, some people pray, other people don't. Other people just simply say thank you. Other people just take a moment of silence. Like, whatever that translates to for you is completely fine, but just try to just take a moment to simply express gratitude towards meal. That will establish a much more sense of peace, more sense of calm, more sense of presence and connection to your food.
You just reminded me, Delilah, a few years ago now, I tried to start a practice of keeping a gratitude journal. And I don't know if you're familiar with those, but the short-term goal was for me to, at the end of every day, list three things that I was grateful for. And when I started, I was so not used to practicing gratitude. I struggled at the end of a day. Gee, three things, you know, people say life, health, and strength, but I wanted to go a little deeper. And then it occurred to me, if nothing else, I ate three meals today in a world where some people are hungry. So at the end of a day, that's three easy ones: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I am very grateful that when my body needed sustenance, there was something there for me to eat. So I think that's a beautiful way. I like the way you put that. Some pray, some have a moment of silence, some just say thank you. However that translates, I think you just said that's a beautiful, beautiful practice, I think, that fits right into what we're talking about, mindful eating. I've got to ask this question, and I hesitated. I almost took this one off of the list for us today, Delilah, because I have a feeling you're gonna laugh me out of the room here. But we are a society, we like results, right? And the Brother Be Well family certainly is results oriented. So how will we know, or will we know, when we've got mindful eating down? When will we start to feel better? How will you know when you're starting to take these tips and hacks on and they're becoming a part of our lives?
Yes. That's so funny that you hesitated. I mean, I get it. I get it. But it will look different for everyone. Of course, I'm pretty sure you saw that one coming. look different for everyone. But I would say there are some maybe general consistencies across people that you can kind of look out for, that you might see if you notice in yourself. So I would say one big thing is if you notice that you're not struggling anymore, or maybe just struggling to a lesser degree, because hey, it's all healing. But if you're not struggling so much with overeating or undereating, that's a big sign. But also note, like, I'm not saying that doesn't mean it's never, ever going to happen again, the overeating or undereating. Just that you're not struggling with it, right? There's a huge difference there, right? Mm-hmm. Things can happen sometimes, but if it's not a struggle where it's like legit affecting your daily functions. And then also, if you notice that you're not turning to food to cope with uncomfortable emotions, that's another big sign that the mindful eating practices are working well.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful tips, Delilah. Delilah Bizazi, registered dietitian and Brother Be Well clinical advisor. And one of my go-to people, Delilah. I hope you don't mind that I reach out when I need to and say, hey, Delilah, what do you think about this? And I'm glad we get to have some of these conversations on a platform where everyone can take advantage of them. Thanks a lot, Delilah.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure. I love being here. I love chatting.
Love having you too. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Take care.
And I want to thank you for listening into this podcast here at Brother Be Well. The website is brotherbewell.com. We are a membership supported service. And guess what? Memberships are free. So you can sign up, be our latest new member at brotherbewell.com. While you're there, sign up for our blog, give us your email address, and two or three times a week, we'll let you know when conversations just like the one that Delilah and I just had go live. Take care of all of that at brotherbewell.com, a service that is here for to support the mental and physical health as well of boys and men of color, 13 and up, African American, Native and Indigenous, Asian and Pacific Islander, and Latinx. We take care of it all at brotherbewell.com. So check us out. My name again, Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well. Asking you to do two quick favors for me. Let me thank you first for listening in again, but do quick favors for me, two of them. Take great care of yourself and then take great care of somebody else. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Brother Be Well podcast. There are lots of people that look like us stepping up to take the journey to wellness. Stay connected by joining peer support groups and happenings in the Brother Be Well community this month. Watch for text alerts and hook up with us for the next episode of Brother Be Well. I'm Leon Guidry, and we're out.